Hey everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of the Irish Knicks Fan Podcast, where we talk about beer, basketball, and business, and not necessarily in that order. I am your host, Breen Evers, so let's get right into it. In this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about how we've gone 2-2 in the last four games against some elite competition. And then in the second half of the episode, I want to give you guys a bit of a life update and talk about some things that have been heavy on my heart lately. So buckle up and let's go. So with only a handful of games left before the All-Star break and 30 games left in this year's regular season, our guys are sitting at 27-25, two games above 500 after going 2-2 in the last four games. But how did we get here? Well, it's simple, really. Julius Randle is a fucking beast. He went into this game against the Cavs and finished with 36 points and 13 huge rebounds. He had 17 points in the first quarter alone, really setting the tone for the rest of the guys to follow. We had a pretty balanced offensive output from the rest of our guys. RJ had 16 points. Jalen had 14. We had Quinton with 10, Quick with 9, and even 11 points from Obi, hitting some big three-pointers down the stretch as he comes back from his injury. But this game belonged to Julius Randle. I mean, I've been saying it all year long, to see the journey he's been on, from the thumbs down moment in the Garden last year to this smiling assassin on the court, too big, too strong, just imposing his will in every single game. And this game was no different. At one point, we were tied 100-100 with less than 2 minutes to go. And Julius hit the dagger three at the top of the key just to put the game ever so slightly out of reach. And the final score was 105-103. Good guys. And then he followed up that performance against the Cavs with another heroic output against none other than the Boston Celtics. Some would say are the best team in the league this year and have... a lot of people have picked them as title favorites, with Jason Tatum also leading in a lot of people's MVP voting. But it didn't matter, because Julius followed up that performance with another 37-point outing with 9 rebounds and 2 assists. Now, in the last game against the Cavs, it was about Julius's efficiency from 3. But this game, he decided to be that raging bull, the attack the rim at every possible opportunity mentality was activated throughout. And even post-game, he said that he hadn't been dunking this often and this like ferociously since high school, and long may it continue, because he was absolutely immense. Now, this game also had another big performance from none other than Mr. Clutch, Jalen Brunson. He finished the game with 29 points, 4 rebounds, and 7 assists. A nice bounce back game, because quietly, I think he's a little hurt, or at least just a little beat up from basically carrying this team through this last couple of weeks. And he's had a couple of inefficient games, very unlike himself. But in this game against the Celtics, he was up for it. He hit big shot after big shot down the stretch. So with 37 from Julius, 29 from Jalen, and a cool 19 from RJ, it was just too much for the Boston Celtics to handle. This game went to overtime. Even though we had been behind by double figures for most of the game, we made one big late push. And then with the game on the line in overtime, Jalen Brown missed 2 big free throws. And I have to say, one of the highlights of the season so far is this menacing smile that our guy Julius gave him, knowing that that was his moment and that he bottled it. Now, we've also had a couple of games not go our way lately, whether it be refs swallowing their whistle or us actually being the culprit when it comes to lacking in late game execution. But we followed up that close, hard-fought victory against the Cavs with a huge 120 to 117 victory against the Celtics. It's kind of funny because in the last episode, I mentioned that these next handful of games were considered a gauntlet against some really tough opposition. And then the first two games against two of the best teams in the East, we actually won. So, I mean, these guys never cease to amaze us. The roller coaster continues. And really, as long as we play hard on both sides of the ball and two out of the three, or sometimes, hopefully, more often than not, the three-headed snake comes to play, it's proof over these two games that we can compete with any team in this league. So just some other honorable mentions. You know, Emmanuel Quickley, who's been playing incredible as of late, contributed with 17 points. We had, I have to give him his flowers. Jericho, Sad Boy Sims, had one of the biggest games of his career this night, finished with 14 big rebounds and only 2 points. But as we often talk about with these big centers that are attacking the boards and attacking closeouts and playing incredible defense, a lot of what they do to impact the game isn't going to show up on the stat sheet. But I just have to say, Sad Boy, you are absolutely crushing it. I'm delighted to see you getting more time and more trust. And I just want to see you continue to get better and better on both sides of the court. I mean, I was looking at some of the stats for all these guys the other day, and Jericho's actually leading the league in free throw percentage since the beginning of this year, or since the beginning of December. He's at 81%. Obviously, most of those are dunks and putbacks and things like that. But I mean, you still need to be able to catch and finish. There's a lot of teams in this league that would be considerably better if he was part of the equation. So we better hold on to him, and hopefully he'll go from strength to strength as Mitchell Robinson works his way back from that unfortunate thumb injury. So this is where things get a little bit messy. Our next two games against the Nets and the Lakers, two significantly, quote, worse teams than the teams we just beat. It took a 21-point fourth quarter performance from Kyrie Irving for us to actually lose this game against the Nets. It finished 122 to 115. So obviously very closely contested game throughout. But Kyrie had 7 points in the 4 points in the first quarter, 7 points in the second quarter, 0 points in the third, and 21 in the fourth. And that's what it took to beat us. I mean, it was some wizardry shit. Like, I don't particularly like Kyrie for obvious reasons. There's a lot of off-court stuff that just kind of distracts from what he's actually capable of on the court. But holy shit, this was a performance to remember. And he just hits some shots and like makes some moves to the basket that nobody else can do. I mean, it says a lot that every single guard in the NBA, when asked about who their favorite, like who would they like to model their game after, or who has the most skilled game in the NBA, everybody unanimously picks Kyrie every single time. But some notable performances on our side in this game. I mean, this was a slightly less prolific performance from Julius, finished with 19 points, but also had 10 big rebounds and 8 assists. So it's actually 2 assists shy of a triple-double. So even when not imposing his will like he had done in the last two games, was still able to have a very big overall impact in, you know, in the attempt to, you know, beat these bitter rivals of ours. RJ had a huge game, 24 points and 6 rebounds. Personally, I feel like RJ's been a little bit inconsistent since he's come back from that finger injury, which is fair enough. Maybe he's trying to get his conditioning back. You know, some days he looks great, other days he's wildly inefficient. But I mean, even before the finger injury, that's kind of what we've had to put up with from him this year. And I mean, don't get me wrong, you know I love my guy RJ. I have 2 RJ jerseys. I mean, I am rooting for him. I want him to reach that, you know, elite guard status, you know, along the lines of, you know, Paul George, for example, like I think he can be at a Paul George, Jaylen Brown level. He just needs to be, find a way to be more consistent and be more efficient on the offensive end. But you can always count on RJ to give a shit. And that's why I think that he'll put in the work to get there and to basically deliver more consistently as we go into these last 30 games of the season. I think there's a few big games still to come for him this year. We had 10 points from Quinton as well, and actually 16 points from Quick. So again, another incredible performance from Quick. I mean, you can almost guarantee that Quick is going to score between 16 and 20 every single game. Not bad for a six-man option, a spark plug off the bench, somebody who will play tough defense and really give it his all in every single minute that he gets on the court. He also had 6 big rebounds. He's one of the better rebounding guards in the league, in my opinion. And really, you know, one of the things about this game and made me feel like it was going to be one of those games that we actually pulled out late was that, again, Jaylen had another bounce back game, 26 points, 4 assists and 3 rebounds. I mean, it's hard really to put into perspective, because I think with the three-headed snake, Julius, RJ, and Jaylen, you can kind of overthink it. You can see a game where Julius has 36, but then the other two have been wildly inefficient. They're still kind of getting their numbers, but, you know, not really affecting the game that in the way that they would like. Then Julius might have, you know, a worse game, and the other two step up. So it's, you could kind of, I guess, trip over yourself and look into it a bit too deeply, where sometimes it's as simple as whose night's it going to be, next man up, let's all work as a team to do everything we can to win this game, to play hard on both ends, and to, you know, okay, maybe we're relying a little too heavily on the three-headed snake, but for the most part, it's actually worked out. So, but I just think that in general, you know, sometimes we can look at these counting stats and we can say, Jesus, that game for, you know, RJ wasn't the best. He was definitely inefficient. Or, you know, Jaylen could have done more here. Or Jesus, Julius kind of, you know, didn't really impose his will the way that he should. But at the end of the day, these guys are giving it their all. You know, every team that we come up against, the game plan is, you know, to try and limit the amount of chances that each of these guys get to score. There's, you know, there's times where foul trouble has been an issue. There's basically variables that maybe when you look, you know, at the stats after, you think, geez, that was a bit odd. But when it comes down to it, is the effort level there? You know, are they competing on both sides of the ball? Have we reestablished that defensive identity that has gotten us to this point in the season? And I think the answer is yes. I mean, we beat 2 of the elite teams in the East, and it took a 21-point fourth quarter, you know, God mode performance from Kyrie to actually beat us in this game. And really, if we could have been a little bit more efficient at the beginning of the game, because we missed a lot of threes to start, this game would have been over early and we would have been resting our guys in the fourth. But, you know, we gave it our all. It was a very interesting game to watch. Definite playoff atmosphere that has been present really for these 3 games, and sometimes it's just not our night. So we went into the next game against none other than the Los Angeles Lakers. This was an absolute marathon. The game finished 129 to 123. It did go to overtime. Some notable performances on our side in this bit of a heartbreaking loss, honestly. Julius had 23 points and 12 huge rebounds, 5 assists. We had RJ having a really inefficient night with 13 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. We had, you know, Quinton had 12. We had Isaiah Hartenstein actually had a good game for once, 16 points, 13 rebounds, 19 points from Emmanuel Quickley. As we've said, he's consistently been great in that six-man role. But again, another huge performance from Jalen Brunson, 37 points, 6 assists and 2 rebounds. I mean, again, this was one of those games where, I think we made it a lot harder on ourselves than we needed to. I think that we started out the game super inefficient. I mean, usually when we have an offensively efficient first quarter, it's typically a sign that we're going to like win, or at least be in a pretty decent position to win the game. I think there was a crazy stat that said that once we were leading by halftime, that we're 17-2 on the season, which is nuts. But this was a little bit of more psychological game, I feel like. You could see there was definite nerves. I mean, LeBron, we could do a whole separate podcast on how insane it is that he's 38 years old in his 20th year in the season. He's now less than 100 points away from beating the all-time scoring record set by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, I mean, this guy has 4 championships, has, 20 All-Star selections, 4 MVPs. Like, his resume speaks for itself. But one of the things that I thought was actually really incredible in this game was how he managed the game, because he finished, with very LeBron-like numbers, 28 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. And, so as I said, counting stats, you would say, okay, great, big time LeBron performance. That's why they won. Not necessarily. I think LeBron was able to manage this game, and his experience kind of showed out. He knew when to push. He knew when to pull back and conserve some energy. He knew when it took to, when the moment arised to make a big shot or drive to the basket and get fouled for an and one. Like, he just looked at the game holistically and said, where do I need to kind of make a little bit of a push? Where do I need to impose myself to make sure that we, when it's all said and done, we're on the winning side of this scoreline? And I think that it was actually a masterful performance in kind of poise and experience and just elite efficiency, elite execution, and just an understanding of the game that is was unfortunate for us, because I think that, again, similarly to the game against the Nets, it was a very much a playoff atmosphere. I think we seemed a little nervous to start, and our inefficiencies in the first half ultimately cost us this game as well. As I'm going through all this, I do have to mention, this was an oversight on my part, 2 oversights. So when I was going through kind of our Knicks season check-in, I completely left Obi Toppin off that list in terms of a player that, has had its moments, and somebody that I think once he's fully healthy and gets some more minutes can really contribute in these last 30 games. And I also wanted to mention that the big shot that RJ hit against the Celtics to essentially take it, the dagger 3, I just wanted to call that out as a big moment in that Celtics game. But look, overall, this was an interesting 4-game stretch. I think that it's fair to say that if you were to look at a 4-game stretch where it included the Celtics, the Cavs, the Lakers, and the Nets, that you would actually think we'd flip-flop the results, and that actually we would have beaten both the Lakers and the Nets and lost to the Cavs and Celtics. But that's often not how it goes with us. As you know, you can never really know what to expect going into each game with our Knicks this year. We have definitely outperformed expectations, and I think that the advanced stats show that, like, even in the games we lose, we're keeping them very close and competitive, and that our net rating for the year still has us at maybe the fourth or fifth like best team in the league. So I mean, sometimes the results just don't go your way, and I know we've been kind of reconciling with this over the last few weeks, is that we kind of have to adjust our expectations that, yes, it's clear, we have proven it. It's now, there's only 30 games left in the season. We've proven to be one of the better teams this year. We've proven to be a team that should rightly have some, playoff aspirations. and that maybe will even surpass those expectations. But we cannot win every game. And I think it's hard as like diehard Knicks fans as we are to go into these games. And really, if we looked at the season as a whole, we could, very similarly to last year, we could probably pick a handful of like a double digit handful of games that like came down to late game execution or a call that didn't go our way. Or, you know, just, I mean, the idea that we're now currently two games over 500, where we've left maybe 10 or 11 games on the table, I mean, that would literally put us at the Celtics level, you know, and we'd be, you know, fighting for the one seed between the Celtics and, you know, the other elite teams like the Cavs and the Nets. But I guess, look, all I'm saying is that when it comes down to it, as a Knicks fan, as long as we can go into these games with the right mentality, where we're going to fight and claw for every inch, for every advantage, we're going to have the three-headed snake playing and giving it their all, and have the rest of the role players on our team, you know, trying to contribute in every possible way they can, you know, the results will take care of themselves. And I'll say it for one last time, we are now poised to really take advantage of this next handful of games as people wind down to go into the All-Star break. And then those final, that final stretch, that home stretch of games before the playoffs, there's going to be a number of teams to fall off, and we are going to rack up those wins. And I called it at the very beginning of this season that our team is good enough to finish the year with 46, 47, maybe even 48 wins. Let's see if we can do it. Let's see if we can do it. So, and I'm pretty sure going a little better than 500 the rest of the way gets us more or less there. So, yeah, let's see. But incredible four games to watch. Some disappointing results. But overall, our guys, you know, they played hard. And sometimes, you know, sometimes the results aren't there for us. But it does not mean that we did not, you know, come into the game with the right approach, the right intensity. You know, more than anything else, like the best I can take from these two losses that I really think should have been wins is that defensively we're back. That defensive identity that had abandoned us during that four-game skid, it's back. And I think it will stand to us over these next handful of games. The next game is against the Miami Heat. Let's see how we fare. Let's see who we're talking about in the next episode, because we do have the Heat coming up. So yeah, just to quickly, before we go into the next part of the podcast, just to give you an idea of what to expect, we have the next game against the Heat. We have a game against the Clippers, the Sixers, the Magic, and the Sixers again. So this is another handful of pretty tough games against some hard-nosed opposition. And I for one, can't wait to see what happens. So when we come back, I'm going to just give you a bit of a life update and some exciting things to share with you. And I just wanted to share other things that have been a little heavy on my heart and things that I thought would be worth sharing with you guys overall. So sit tight. I'll be back shortly. And we're back. So a bit of housekeeping, guys. Unfortunately, the Irish Knicks Fan live event that I had scheduled for the 28th of April is going to have to be pushed back by a couple of months. We're circling the 28th of July as a potential new date, but that hasn't been locked in yet. So I'll keep you in the loop. And as soon as we have it 100% finalized, I'll announce it on the podcast. The reason for this is that I just have a couple of things going on in my life personally and professionally outside of the podcast that I think would kind of get in the way of being able to organize, prepare, and deliver the standard of event that I wanted to bring to you guys. And I think with this extra couple of months, it will give us the time we need to kind of, you know, focus on some of the finer details and, you know, deliver the type of event that you guys deserve. So, I'll keep you posted. I know it's disappointing news. It's still going ahead, just at a slightly later date. On a happier note, the next time you hear this podcast, it will be getting recorded live from New York City. That's right. The Irish Knicks fan is going back to New York. You know I can't stay away for long. We have so many incredible things lined up. We're going to Knicks Nets. We're going to the Harlem Globetrotters. We're even taking a road trip to Philly for the Grizz Sixers game. And I cannot wait to share all of this with you on this very podcast. There's also the triumphant return of Craft Beer Corner as we've circled some incredible breweries in Brooklyn, Manhattan, Long Island City, and who knows what else we'll find along the way. So we'll be giving you a detailed report while enjoying some incredible beers in the process. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. I will be leaving on the 7th of February. Don't worry, we will be sticking to our usual weekly posting schedule, and I cannot wait to bring you with us on every step of the way. And finally, guys, here's your gentle reminder to make some time for your friends. And I'm not talking about bullshit acquaintances that never check in, that never text first, that never even make the effort to reach out. I'm talking about those people that always want to see you win, that genuinely care about your happiness, that really prioritize that little, you know, free time that they have to create an opportunity for quality time spent with you. The type of people that at the end of the night, when you're jumping into the taxi or getting the last train home, that they make you feel happy to be alive. Cherish those people. Nurture those relationships, make time for them, because that's what it's all about, guys. At the end of the day, we talk all the time on this podcast about this relentless pursuit of our goals, the singular focus on becoming all we're destined to become. But do you really want to do it alone? Do you really want to alienate those special people, you know, while you're on this journey? Or do you want to win together? Do you want to build together? Do you want to celebrate together? Do you want to commiserate together? I'm just trying to tell you that in the last couple of weeks, I've really made the time to catch up with some of those very special people in my life before I head off to New York. And we've had some great chats. It's been funny. It's been, you know, it's been hard. You know, we're having sometimes, you know, you do have to also make time for those people that allow you to have that safe space so that a vulnerable conversation can happen. Those will be good nights too. You know, that can be cathartic in a lot of ways to have the people in your life that you know you have that safe space with. They also have to be prioritized because those are special people. I think that it's just kind of crystallized to me in the last couple of weeks, because really, with everything that's gone on with me this year, or at least towards the end of last year, and I kind of spent some time in monk mode, you know, returning to baseline, reestablishing my routines, being super strict with my workouts and everything like that to kind of just reground myself. But I've allowed myself in recent times to just have a bit of fun, you know, just not take it all so seriously, to laugh and be silly with the people that mean the most to me. And I'm telling you, if you don't make the time to do that, people will eventually stop reaching out. They'll eventually stop inviting you to things. They'll eventually just kind of fade into the background. And you don't want that. You know, if you've got those people in your life, that if anything I've said about, you know, those handful of people that you know you will laugh with, you will cry with, you'll fucking go to war with them, you'll take a fucking bullet for them. If you have those people in your life, cherish that shit and make sure they know how important they are to you, because you never know. And I guess I'm kind of in my feels about this because I've spent those last couple of weeks catching up with some of those people for me. And I woke up this morning just feeling very grateful that I have so many people in my life that care so deeply about me. And, you know, I think that this podcast, one of the reasons why it's resonated to the level that it has, is that I've always being as open and honest and as vulnerable as possible with you. There are some some episodes, if you look back, you know, like even on that shadow self episode, or like why you should never give up episode 5, like I've shared some deep and dark and like kind of uglier sides of myself on this podcast. But I feel like overall, I mean, you know, it's one of those things. I'm kind of in a very reflective mood today, and you know, maybe it's because I feel so grateful that I'm in a position that I'm in right now, that I'm about to step into this new chapter of my life, that we're about to continue building this podcast to the stratosphere, that I'm about to go to New York for 3 weeks and have all these incredible experiences. It's probably a combination of all of those things, but I woke up definitely feeling very grateful. And I just wanted to say thank you, because not only, you know, has this been wildly well received in a way that I was not expecting. Like, we have almost 8,000 downloads. We're going to hit 10,000 downloads by the end of this month, which means that it's going to unlock a lot of new incredible opportunities in terms of sponsorships, etc., for the podcast. I've had some incredible feedback on certain episodes. I really feel like this has become, you know, a staple in my life. Like I look forward to recording these episodes and sharing my life experience with you guys, whether it's through beer, through basketball, through business, or just, you know, a moment of vulnerability. I really do. I'm so grateful for all of you. And I just thought that was worth saying, because yes, I can implore you to make time for the people that mean the most to you in your life, and to prioritize, protect, nurture, and, you know, just take care of those people. But I also just wanted to acknowledge each and every one of you listening to this, because we're in this together. And I know I said this a couple of times at the end of each of I've said this a couple of times previously, but I just wanted you all to know that if you ever need someone to talk to, if there's ever anything on your mind, if there's anything that I've talked about on these episodes that you want to explore in more detail, or if you just need somebody to listen, reach out to me on irishnicksfan@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me on Instagram, Breen Evers, or @irishnicksfan. I'm always happy to chat. I'm always here. You know, we're all just trying our best, right? So, you know, when you have the opportunity to meet up with these people that do create these, you know, moments of genuine bliss and happiness, fucking do it. You know, yes, sometimes it's easier to just stay cozy at home and like watch another episode of that Netflix show, or like play some more PlayStation 5, calling myself out on that one. I've played so much PlayStation in the last month that I think one of my joysticks is actually broken. but sometimes you really just have to take the opportunities when they arise to create new and lasting experiences with the people that mean the most to you. Okay, so with that said, lads, or everyone, I shouldn't just say lads. With that said, this is the end. This will be the end of this episode. I hope there's some value in what I said here today. So excited for everything that to come. And until next time, let's go, Knicks!